if you're on a cell phone, just tap on that mute button, and it'll do that. Okay, Reverend, I have been assigned the sermon for today, so I'll get the notes out for the sermon. Okay, I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath day so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you may be. We've kind of had scattered weather in Puerto Rico this last week. It's been raining the last couple of days, and we hadn't had consecutive days of rain in a long time, which is always good. So it is getting cooler around this time of the year, so we're grateful and blessed to have God's rain. So we won't need it for the summertime, God willing. So, and it is did start raining throughout this entire morning, but now it's blue skies, it's warm, and blessed to have this kind of weather here in Puerto Rico. So we pray it is going well where you may be. Well, brethren, we are currently in a time in this end of the Gregorian calendar 2021 in which people usually are thinking of what they want to do different in the upcoming 2022. There are many people who think about resolutions regarding a better and healthier lifestyle, doing more exercises, reading more, getting up earlier in the day, learning something new, picking up a new hobby. Well, you get the idea. Everyone wants to just wait until 2022 because it means it's a new year in mankind's calendar, and they think, I'll just wait until next year. Why even bother starting now? Mankind throughout history has had tendencies of just waiting until next year to start different things in their lives. And this concept of resolutions throughout the year and the new changes that they want to make are part of what they want to do differently. The mindset is that by the calendar changing from the end of the year to the next, they will automatically just flip a switch within themselves and all of a sudden just start their new year, new you mentality, and just change suddenly. However, in all reality, most people's resolutions of changing don't even last too long into a new year anyway. Don't worry, I'm not here today to talk to you about resolutions. In our own daily Christian life, we too experience a lack of discipline of needing to do the things that are expected from us, as commanded from God's Word. We are often so distracted with the world's problems, situations, and trials that we get caught up in everything and lose perspective of what God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, have set out for us to do. Most people think they don't have enough time. They think there aren't enough hours in the day to do what needs to be done spiritually first, and then with their own lives. Now, we all have attempted to juggle with everything life has for us, and that is our spiritual growth each day through prayer, reading, and meditation on God's Word. We have jobs and obligations in the workplace. We are providers for our family, raising and bringing up children or grandchildren. We have our own hobbies we like to do, whether playing a particular sport, reading, exercise, you name it. We all enjoy to do the things we like to do, yet we always say and think we fall short, always. We blame it on not having enough time, yet we don't look at our own time management. I've titled today's sermon, A Time for Everything. a time for everything. We are going to look at time from the biblical perspective of what God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, brought to fruition in the Holy Scriptures we have in our lives today. Time is something evident since the beginning of creation in the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. There is always a concept of time in Scripture. And we will see as we go along with the main message for today, just how God established time, not just for our management, but also how throughout His Word, time is always of the essence, as the phrase goes. We always say we don't have time for this or that, but in all reality, there is more than enough time in our daily lives to do what needs to be done. We just sometimes get caught up in our routine or aren't disciplined spiritually enough to overcome our lack of production with God's Word. We all have our responsibilities and obligations in life. But before we get into what our obligation in life is, we have to understand that time for God, Christ, and His Word always comes first. God made a time for everything, and today we will look at five areas regarding different concepts of time in the Scriptures. First, we will look at there being a time of trouble and need. Second, that time is perspective in our lives. Third, there is a time for love. Fourth, there is a time to correct ourselves, to get back on track. And fifth, there is a time for prophecies. Each area will give us the knowledge and wisdom, I pray, to how to see the element of time in our lives, and how God specifically made everything with certain times associated with events and times in our lives. Before our first scripture for today, I want to give you some interesting facts regarding time, according to the blog Prep Scholar found online. First, in a single day, we all know there are 24 hours. 1 hour is 60 minutes, and 60 seconds are in 1 minute. And this, I am confident, we all know. However, daily, there are 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, and 86,400 seconds. Something to think about. Yearly, there are 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, and 31,536,000 seconds. Not sure if you ever thought about it that way, but those numbers definitely do jump out to me. With all of the hours, minutes, and seconds that are in a day, and throughout the year, God made a specific time for everything. For our first scripture for today, let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Very familiar verses here we will read of Solomon's words, as I'm sure all of you have read at some point. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Reading out of the King James Version, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sue. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace." Solomon's words present very familiar verses we have all read at some point in our life. There is specific reason as to why Solomon, in all his wisdom given from God, was able to write this down. God wanted all of mankind to understand that life was about events that would happen in specific time frames. To understand that God's time is part of His perfect and absolute will. There are situations in which we do not know why something happens. We only think of the reaction to what happens to us. However, we often fail to realize that God is preparing us for what our life will be. God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, wanted all to know just how important everything with regards to time is. There is a time for everything because God allows it to happen in our lives for our spiritual development. Let's look at the first area for the sermon today, and that is there is a time of trouble and need in our life. We often take for granted the events that happen in our lives because we are busy with thinking how we get out of certain situations in life. They could be problems within the family, sickness, disease around the world, famine in countries, violence among citizens that we see on the news. Yet, we don't comprehend God needs everything to happen when it does and the way it does because of our need to depend always on Him. Times of need are for our spiritual growth. Always remember that. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 32, verses 5 through 7. Here we will read of David acknowledging the Lord's help in a time of need. Psalms chapter 32, verses 5 through 7, it says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Salah. "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Salah. David's words of knowing a certain time to pray after a transgression is committed is written. He knows God will be with him, when times of trouble would surround him. Let's continue in the book of Psalms, this time, chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. Psalms, chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies." God will deliver us in times of need and trouble from our enemies. But we must hold certain behavior when considering our fellow man. An expectation God has for our daily living when considering others. Psalms chapter 56, verses 1 through 4. There is definitely a lot of spiritual food regarding times of need in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 56, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppress me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." No matter the odds or our enemies, whenever we are afraid and most vulnerable, our time in need must be placing our complete trust in God and his word. Times of need and trouble are not meant to be happening to us on purpose. God does not spite his called out and chosen few, as we are his spiritual Israel. These tough times are meant to strengthen our faith, our commitment, and our purpose with God. Look how David responded each time he faced adversity. He put his complete and utter trust in God at all times. He could be facing times of need daily, yet daily he would put his complete and total confidence in God. So should we. Turn just a few pages now to Psalms chapter 69, verses 13 and 14. Psalms chapter 69, verses 13 and 14. It says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters." David's words continue the critical importance of our time needed in prayer. God will deliver us from the most troubling times. Let's look at the second area for the sermon today, and that is how time is perspective. The perspective of time means the perception we have of what time is in our life. we often take time for granted because we think things can just be done in the next day, the next week, the next month, and sometimes even put things off for a year. However, God puts His perspective through His Word and Scriptures with time, because for Him, this could be as simple as one day equaling 1,000 years, or 1,000 years equaling one day. 2 Peter 3:8. Just put it in your notes for reference. The perception of time for God is to abide by His will. And things in life will not happen when we want them, but when God wants them to happen. We might get impatient, we might grow weary, tired, bored, and desperate. However, the perspective of God and His perfect and absolute will must always be present in our hearts and minds. Let's turn to Psalms 89. And we'll read the first part of verse 47. Psalms chapter 89, reading the first part of verse 47. It says, "Remember how short my time is." We cannot lose perspective on knowing just how short time is. We are all here for a flicker. Understanding why God implemented a time for everything in the first place, it was for us to follow His guidelines daily. David's perspective on time itself is evident. He knew just how fragile time is and what was expected from him with regards to everything in his life with God. Let's go to the New Testament now, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. Here we will read of Paul's words of God's time with our perception of life. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" All God has done in our lives, He did in His own perfect time. There is no better time management in history than God's absolute and perfect will. We must take heed to the words spoken by Paul. If God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, are on our side, there can be nothing in this world that can be against us. We have to let everything happen when God wants it to happen. God's perspective of time is for us to know we have to have the faith of knowing God is in control. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is our comforter. Nothing this world can do to us can get in the way of what God and our Messiah have planned. is there is a time for love. One of the most important and fundamental aspects of our Christian way of life is to know that in every possible situation, we have to know that love is an essential quality to put into practice. A time of love is to be dedicated to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, our fellow man, and the actions we do daily. Love is critically important because it allows us to flourish on the inside as it relates to how our hearts and minds are set. There are many examples and instances in the Holy Scriptures where God continually demonstrated love as something that needs to be put into practice daily. A time for love means we should strive to do everything according to what God has shown us through His everlasting mercy and loving kindness. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. Here we read of God showing His love to the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. It says, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Ezekiel's words to the people of Jerusalem, and what happens when God is at the center of taking us from where we are and showing love for all He does, His love endures forever. Yet we could be without anything in our lives, God will not ever forget to show His love toward us by providing for our daily needs, for providing during our most dire circumstances, and knowing He will not forsake us. Just like He never forgets about His chosen nation in Israel, the same applies with us as His called out and chosen few. Let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. A book we don't normally turn to, but with a powerful message of how we must change. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." There is a time to change from wicked ways and choose to return back to the Lord from our iniquities and unrighteousness. our own self. The time for love is to demonstrate we are able to carry out God's plan in our lives. And if we are living in wickedness, to turn from it and seek God and His righteousness. We cannot have the time to truly love God and His ways if our words and actions dictate otherwise. True love to God cannot be attained by following man and his ways. It is done through God's instructions to us and His perfect law. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. Solomon's words of how we must act to avoid shortcuts in life. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Solomon's words for us are clear. A true friend loves at all times, not diminished by adversity. We must have the time to love at all times. As difficult as it seems, it is not impossible. A foolish person cannot obtain wisdom if their heart is not set on truly learning it with the right intentions. A time for love is based on actions that are done daily. And with the actions we take, we are forged into who we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Let's look at the fourth area for the sermon today. And that is, there is a time to correct ourselves. There are times in life where we fail, and that is the way we are because of our human nature. We are born imperfect. And our goal as God's spiritual Israel is to live our life according to God's word and the example set forth by our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now, are we going to fail? Yes. We are in a corruptible body. However, the difference between us who are called into God's truth and the rest of the world and its ways is that we know better. We know the truth, and more is expected from us. God will allow us sometimes to slip, and we might think we are completely lost. But God will always allow us to get back on track by setting us on the right path. The Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, is part of the guide we need, especially when it comes to correcting ourselves. We might get off course for a bit of time, but we cannot allow it to take complete control of our lives. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. Paul writes of the time to correct ourselves, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. It says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Paul's words allude to the importance of all sins and wrongdoings exposed. All is made light and visible to God and Christ. We need to awaken and walk carefully. Watch how we live daily, making the most out of our time because there is so much evil in the world. We need to understand what God's will is for us. The author of Hebrews makes the point of how to we get back on track with Christ's mercy in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And I'll be reading out of the Modern English Version from here on out. It says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in every sense tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have sympathy because of Christ's mercy in our lives. Though we sin, He will cleanse us from sins. We can come to the throne of grace with the confidence of Christ's mercy and forgiveness. The example set forth by our Messiah should be one that we all do in our lives daily, especially when we have to correct ourselves. Jesus the Christ provided the blueprint. We have to follow in His footsteps. Let's turn back to where we began the sermon, to the book of Ecclesiastes, once again, chapter 3. This time we'll read verses 11 through 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Verses 11 through 14. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its appropriate time. He has also put obscurity in their hearts so that no one comes to know the work that God has done from the beginning to the end. I experience that there is nothing better for them than to be glad and do good in their life, and also that everyone should eat and drink and experience good in all their labor. This is a gift of God. I have perceived that everything that God has done will be lasting, and to this there is nothing to be added, and from it there is nothing to be taken away. And God has done this so that in His presence, men fear Him. We should strive to please God, always. We are to enjoy the many blessings He has given us. However, we should always fear Him by focusing not just on temporary things, but life eternal. We sometimes get distracted and too fixated on the things of this world, on the things that come and go, pass by, and are not eternal. The fear of the Lord is another way we can get back on track because we cannot lose focus of what God expects from us. Distractions will always be a part of our life. It is up to us to differentiate between what is important in our eyes and what is really important in the eyes of God. Everything in this physical world is temporary, but God's plan for His soon coming kingdom are eternal. always remember Matthew 6, verse 33. Don't turn there, just put it in your notes. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. Let's do turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Here we will read Peter's words of correcting ourselves and getting back on track. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. It says, therefore repent and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the one who previously was preached to you, Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoring what God spoke through all his holy prophets since the world began. Peter's sermon focuses on a time to repent from all sins before God restores all from this world. Christ returned to heaven until all things are restored, according to the word of God's holy prophets, until all is fulfilled in God's perfect time. This time we are living right now is to prepare for Christ's second arrival. This is the time we have on this physical earth to make things right with God and Christ. We cannot be ready for our Messiah's return if we are on the wrong path. We must correct ourselves and get back on the path that leads to righteousness. There is no other way to be ready for the time to come. The prophets God chose from Genesis to Revelation all provided scripture in God's word for our admonishment and preparation. Everything we know and learn is found in God's word. We cannot be caught off guard, brethren. Let's look at the fifth and final area for the sermon today, and that is there is a time for prophecies. Throughout God's word, there are numerous instances from the Old Testament to the New, about different prophecies that are fulfilled, whether they have to do with the people of Israel, all the way in the time of Moses. Or, it could be from the time our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, was on this earth. Prophecies in the Holy Scriptures are there for us to find out not only what happened in the past, but to be alert as to things that are happening in our present time, just like it was during the time of the prophets. So we take heed to the warning of God's word and the words of Jesus the Christ. A time for prophecies means there is a time for God's plan and fulfillment of his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfilling of prophecies means we are to know there is a time and place for all that is written to happen, to take place. Also, it means we know we have to keep an eye out for events that are occurring, the way they are occurring, and how it happened, so as to not surprise us when it actually does. As God's called and chosen few, we have a duty and obligation, as we will read directly from God's word in the following scriptures, to pay close attention for the times to come. Let's turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 8 through 11. A book where we know it is filled with different prophecies that happened not only in the time of the prophet, but also are yet to happen because it is not time yet. But it will in God's time. Isaiah 49, verses 8 through 11, it says, "Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will preserve you and give you as a covenant of the people, to restore the earth, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the paths, and their pasture shall be in all desolate heights. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun strike them. For he who has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water he shall guide them. I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up." All of God's prophecies are of perfect timing, especially regarding prophetic events, such as foreshadowing Christ's role on earth. Let's turn just a few pages over in Isaiah to chapter 60, verses 21 and 22. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Then all your people shall be righteous, for they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a great nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time." The prophetic restoration of Zion in the world to come, when all will be glorified in the Father, as God will make it so in His own perfect time. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, also has several examples to choose from in the New Testament, specifically as it relates to prophecies that are to come. Our Messiah knew very well God has things planned in certain time frames, and in a unique order for only His timing to be revealed unto all of mankind. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Here we read of Christ's words to the Pharisees and Sadducees of times to come. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. "The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.' So he left them and departed." Jesus the Christ alludes to the unbelievers, who can tell the physical aspects of life, but are oblivious to the times to come. They were clueless to the times to come, to Christ's purpose and revealing of His return and resurrection. Let's read of another time Christ mentions prophetic implications and events to come over in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Christ's words regard the future invasion of the Roman Empire to the people of Israel. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. It says, "When he," speaking of Christ, "came near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had known even today what things would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and press you in on every side. They will dash you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Christ's words mention the foreshadowing of the Roman assault that would eventually happen in the year 70 AD, warning the people of Israel of the times to come. God's judgment near. To heed the warning from the word of Christ. Let's see how prophetic events are also implied by the Apostle Peter with regards to our Messiah. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, if for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, in order that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and in whom, though you do not see him now, you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving as the result of your faith the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come to you have inquired and searched diligently, seeking the events and time the Spirit of Christ, who was within them, signified when he foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, concerning the things which are now reported to you by those who have preached the gospel to you through the Holy Spirit, who was sent from heaven, things into which the angels desire to look. Though we go through a time of trials, tribulations, and testing of our faith, we rejoice in knowing Christ has been revealed to us. His glory is revealed as it was for the prophets beforehand." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Here we read Paul's words about how all will be made right with Christ at his second coming. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, it says, "Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth. In him also we have received an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should live for the praise of his glory." Paul's words serve as our example, our purpose, and our role in God's soon coming kingdom. We have been given the revelation of the truth as God's called out few, that all will be made right when Christ returns at his second coming. We have looked at five distinct and unique points regarding God's purpose for time in our lives. God and our Messiah looked at time as a means of knowing that not all in our lives that we have to do happens when we want to. There is an order to things because God's plan and timing is always perfect. We are human, and we get impatient, but we cannot let that dominate our lives because God and Christ have been patient, merciful, and loving toward us, even with all our faults. Each element discussed in the sermon serves as a chain reaction for what our preparation is for everything in life. There is a time of trouble and need in our lives, and that is difficult, but not impossible to manage. As a result, we are encouraged to look at time as a perspective of God's absolute and perfect will. Then, by understanding and looking at God's will, we can see how the time for love is given to us from God and our Messiah in our life. That same time for love is what then allows the time to correct ourselves and put us back on track. Finally, by getting back on track, we can be ready for the time for prophetic events to come and not be caught off guard. This is what God and Christ expect from us. Let us not forget the lessons from the Holy Scriptures. And remember, brethren, there is a time for everything. That does conclude the sermon for today. I will lead us in a closing song and a closing prayer.